Aí. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is powerful, and we pray that as we consider your word today, you'd open our hearts to the power of your word as you come and speak to us. Lord, help us to listen to you. Amen. Well, it's good to see you and to welcome you to St. John's this morning. And I'd like to add my thanks to Anne's for all those who put in a lot of hard work to last night. And I'd just like to say before I go any further that the person that was here is a ventriloquist dummy last night. That was my twin brother. And please don't show me any photos if you've got any. But we had a good time last night, good time together. And this weekend really is a weekend which we've kind of set aside as a church for us to think about the vision, direction of our church life together, where we want to kind of be heading in the coming year. And my belief is that God is calling us to a year of meeting with him in a new way, to seeking him and to drawing close to him. And that, I guess, sums up what I feel the vision is, to draw near to him, to pursue him, to be passionate in our experience of him. It may be that there are those of you who've been Christians for a while and you've kind of wandered away a little from the path of faith, from the journey. Maybe there's obstacles that are facing you right now. And it's an opportunity for us to get back on that path of faith, to deepen and renew our relationship with God, to deal with some of those obstacles and barriers. Or maybe there's some amongst us who are really on the edges and feel perhaps they've never entered that way of faith, never joined that path or got on to the journey with God in life. And perhaps this year is a year where you can take stock and move forward and enter into that relationship with God. There's a verse which has been very much on my mind as I've been thinking about the direction that God's calling us to this year, and it's this one which is up there on the screens now, and I've written it in the orange sheet, and it's on the front of your bulletin, and I'd like you to take this verse and use it as a verse to kind of meditate on, reflect on, and respond to in the coming year. Maybe we could just read it together. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. God wants us to seek him, and that word to seek means to try to find him. It also could mean to ask questions, to be intentional about our relationship with God, not to be passive, but to be actively seeking after God, to pursue him, to attempt to find God in every situation and circumstance of our life. It may mean that you need to pursue prayer, take up more of a lifestyle of prayer. It may mean that you need to offer to God your working situation and see if God can be found in the midst of your routine everyday life. It may be a time to let go of busyness and make space for the Lord. There's a promise in Isaiah a few chapters before this verse, which is up on the screen, that says this: they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. God wants us to renew our strength in him. And my prayer for us as a church is that as we go through this year, we'd increasingly know God's presence. We'd see the fruit of intimate relationship with him, that we'd see joy and peace and love, and that those who might come and visit this church and be part of our church family would experience and taste the presence of God for themselves. Think about people in the Bible that really made a difference, that had an impact in their culture, in their generation, in the history of God's people. They're all people that had a profound encounter with God. There was Moses at the burning bush on the hillside. He had a vision of God. He encountered God speaking to him, and he realized that his God was a holy God, and he had to make changes. He had to make a response. He had to turn his life over to the God whom he'd met. There's Isaiah, who was a prophet, and in the temple had a profound vision of God. He encountered the holiness of God, the majesty of God, and saw a glimpse of the worship of God in the temple. And in the midst of that encounter, he heard God's call. He heard God asking him to be a prophet, to speak out for him. At the end of the Bible, there's John on the island of Patmos, receiving a revelation of God's plan and purposes for history. And not only a revelation of plans, of direction, but a vision of Jesus Christ, a vision of who Jesus was, Jesus' holiness, Jesus' authority over the world. Then there are the disciples, just ordinary men who were frail and afraid after the crucifixion. But when they met with God in the resurrected Christ, their lives were changed, and they became a bunch of people prepared to risk everything for Jesus Christ. They were transformed. Their perspectives, their energies were changed. It'd be tempting for us, I feel, as a church, to rush into lots of new programs, new agendas, new directions. But I feel God's asking us to pause, to wait on him first. And yes, there are fresh work. There is a fresh work for us to do, fresh directions for us to take as a church. But first of all, we need to have that encounter with God. As I've been thinking about vision, I've been trying to read up about what vision really is, and how do you build vision in your life and amongst a community or a group or a team. And John Maxwell, who writes quite a lot on leadership, highlights these four areas of vision and how vision comes about. He says vision starts within, vision draws on your history, vision meets others' needs, and vision helps you to gather resources. I wonder if you've got a personal vision and direction for your life, and whether any of those aspects you can see to be important in the way you've built up vision in your life. Well, Jesus' vision is laid out for us in Luke chapter 4. That's the reading that we've had today, and it's part of our series in Luke's Gospel. And in many ways, this section of Luke's Gospel is a vision Sunday for Jesus. It's his vision Sunday. It's a time where he proclaims what he feels his life is about, his ministry is about. Of course, it wasn't a Sunday, it was a Sabbath day. But there he is in the synagogue telling his local community what he felt God was doing in his life and God was calling him to as the one anointed by the Spirit. And we're going to look a bit more in that passage in just a few moments and begin to unpack it. But as we think about vision, I want you to think about the vision of this church. Obviously, there's a history which we're drawing on. There's a history of direction and energy and purpose that shapes the life of this church. And it's been summed up in the words looking up, looking in, looking out over the last, 9 or 10 years. I think that's been a kind of summary vision statement for St. John's. And as a PCC and a leadership team at St. John's, we've been looking at that statement and thinking, is there a way of rewording it, reformatting it in a sense, in a way which would help us to connect with it afresh in 2008. And we've also been putting together a new website. And some of you may not be particularly turned on by IT or websites, but I do encourage you to have a look at the website. There's some great pictures on there, and I think you should all go home and take a look and see if you find your face on there. Some of you might do. But there's all sorts of information about the church, and we've put a lot of work into the website, not because we just want to have a good website, although we do, but we want to be clear about the shape of our church life. And the website's structured around a rewording of those 3 points of our vision. And the rewording, if you can just put it up on the screen, is like this. It's about meeting God, growing together, and reaching out. And that's the way we've kind of re-expressed the looking up, looking in, looking out. And we hope it says something to you about what you might feel St. John's is about. We hope that these three aspects are important to our whole of church life. And we're encouraging all the step groups and ministry teams in the church to take hold of these three phrases and consider whether they can be seen in the groups and life of the church. Let's just take a look at the last one on that list to start with, reaching out. So I believe we can see these three aspects in the life of Jesus, in the message that he preached in Nazareth. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The vision which Jesus laid out wasn't just a vision for himself, it was a vision for others. It met the needs of others, and I think that's at the heart of what God's calling us to as a church, to reach out and to proclaim. Jesus used words. He went to people. He did things. He encountered people in their poverty, in their sickness, in their illness, in their struggles. And he spoke words of life, words of good news and freedom. There's an evangelist called Leighton Ford, who expressed this sense of mission in these words. He said, "Jesus was born in a borrowed manger. He preached from a borrowed boat. He entered Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. And he ate the Last Supper in a borrowed upper room. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now he asks to borrow the lives of Christians to reach the rest of the world. If we do not speak, then he is dumb and silent." And as we've looked at Luke's gospel and what was going on in Israel in those early chapters, we've recognized that, in a sense, God was dumb and silent, and there was an absence of God's word. And when Jesus got up in a synagogue, he turned that around and he started to speak the word of God to the people that would listen. And he commissioned those who followed him to continue that process of speaking and proclaiming the good news, of reaching out, not just to those who were in, but those who were outside the community. It was good news to the poor. It was freedom for prisoners. It was recovery of sight for the blind. And in the coming weeks, we're going to look a bit more about the poor and who the people were that Jesus ministered to. Luke's gospel is really about that missionary heart of the kingdom, and we'll discover more about that in the coming weeks. There's a quote up there which explains a little bit about what Jesus understood this ministry to be. It wasn't a small-minded parochial vision. It wasn't just for himself or his family or for his immediate neighbours, but it was a vision and direction which would take him to very strange places. And it may be as we seek with God, God would open up new places, new people, new groups of people, new areas of our society and our community where we're to go with the good news and the message of God's favour, just like Jesus did. Well, the next phrase in the slogan of our church is growing together. And that's up on the screen there. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but it's important for us to engage with God's vision, God's agenda together, to build vision as a group. And I'd encourage you to be part of a group here at St. John's. There are many step groups, and Anne's already mentioned our step groups meeting over Lent over the coming weeks here at St. John's. And if you're not part of a group, we'd encourage you to sign up for one, to be part of one. And many of the step groups are open to new members, and if you want to join one, do speak to me or Anne, or contact Margaret through the church office, and we'd love to help you connect up with a group. We need to grow in our faith, and we need to grow in our relationships with each other. But the most crucial aspect of our vision as a church is this final point, which is meeting God. And I wanted to consider this phrase, meeting God, just for a few more moments today before I finish the message. Jesus, when he preached that sermon, had met with God. He'd had a profound experience of God. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4. Maybe you want to just turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. This week I went to Bluecoat School, and it's always a great experience going there. You never quite know what you're going to encounter, what you're going to meet, and I was doing a communion over the lunchtime, and you always have to kind of battle over the hubbub of sounds and chaos that's going on outside the door to make yourself heard. But I was thinking about vision. I was talking a little bit about Luke chapter 4 that we've been thinking about this morning, and I was thinking, what kind of vision are the people that I'm meeting in Bluecoat, what kind of vision have they got for their lives? And I asked them that question, and nobody could really answer me. Nobody really was prepared to speak out. And I thought that was a shame in many ways. And sometimes we can be unclear of our vision and direction. But Jesus was clear, and he was prepared to stand up in his community and be different. And I believe the vision came from his experience of God, which was so profound here at his baptism. And as I was meeting with those kids at Bluecoat, I was praying that they would have an encounter with God, an experience of God's love, which would help them to perhaps articulate some vision and direction and hope. When Jesus went for his baptism, he heard these words, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then we're told that Jesus began his ministry. "You are my son, with whom I am well pleased." In the water of baptism, Jesus met with God. He met with a father who loved him, who affirmed him, who poured great blessing on him. And it seems to be those words which released him, which energized him for his ministry. I wonder if you've heard those words of love and affirmation from God in your own life. I guess many of us have. And I was thinking back to the time when I first became a Christian as a teenager. And I was amazed by the truth that God loved me. It seemed unbelievable, incredible, that God, the creator of the universe, knew me, cared for me, and was pleased with me. And it was this baptism story that really spoke to me in a very powerful way. And I was so excited by the fact that God loved me. I used to get up early in the morning and pray, and I quite often would go for a walk and just enjoy being aware of God's love as I walked around and as I spent time with him. It seemed so exciting. Now, I have to admit that that's not always the case for me today, and I'm sure perhaps for some of us we lose some of that enthusiasm and enjoyment of knowing God, and Most of the time I have to set my alarm these days to get me out of bed in the morning. And it's not a kind of instinctive reaction to the awareness of God's love. But there are times when we're so full of God's love that we respond, that we feel the enjoyment, the pleasure of knowing God. And my prayer is that we would return to that experience. We would renew that love, that first love for God. When I was out in Hong Kong, part of my job was to meet with people that had become Christians. And it was really good because over the kind of 2 years that I was there, there was about 60 adults who came forward for baptism over that time. And many of them had had a really amazing experience of God. They were Hong Kong Chinese folk from the local community. And many of them were very new to faith, didn't really know too much about the Bible. But all of them were really touched by the fact that God loved them and that God had reached out to them. And through many of the conversations we had, they were often people in tears and overwhelmed by that sense of God's love. It was so real to them. They'd met with God in the water, in the sense of that baptism moment. And I encourage us to perhaps return in our minds, in our memories, to the time when we met with God for the first time and ask ourselves, what was it about the gospel? What was it about God that drew us to him? And can we recapture some of that vision, some of that energy in our lives? And there may be some here who've never been baptized or who've never taken that step of faith. Perhaps it's a good time for you to enter into that water and follow the example of Jesus on his baptism. Well, after the baptism, Jesus was taken out into the wilderness. And we had a look at that passage in chapter 4 last week. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. I don't know what you think about when you think of wilderness. There's a picture there of the one in Judea, which could possibly be where Jesus was at the time of his temptation. But the wilderness isn't always about sin and temptation, but it can be about difficulty, obstacles, barriers in our faith. To be mature spiritually, I believe we need to go into those wilderness places. We need God to meet with us in those places of darkness and struggle. We need to wrestle with God and not be afraid of the wilderness. Henry Nouwen writes about spiritual maturity and says that a mature person is one who can articulate the movements of his inner life, who can give names to his varied experience. He no longer is a victim of himself, but is slowly and consistently able to remove the obstacles that prevent the spirit from entering. He's able to make space for him whose heart is greater than his, whose eyes see more than his, and whose hands can heal more than his. If we're to go into the wilderness, we need to be prepared to face some of those areas of doubt and difficulty and struggle in our lives, to open them up before God rather than hide them away. I was thinking back to this time last year, and in some ways it was a bit of a wilderness experience. We'd come back from Hong Kong. We were looking for a church to be part of. I was looking for work, and our family were looking for a community where we could settle and belong. I don't know if anyone here is going through that process of changing jobs or looking for new employment or new beginnings, but it's in those times perhaps where we feel the insecurities and the wilderness experience, and we need to know God in those times. Maybe it's times of illness or suffering or tragedy that strike at home or in our families. Those experiences can take us to a wilderness where we feel life is quite dry. Maybe it's times where we've failed, when we've not achieved what we wanted to, and we have to do something with that sense of failure. When Jesus stood up in a synagogue, the community there was surprised. They said, "Isn't this just Joseph's son? Isn't this the one that we've seen grow up? Why is he saying this message about his ministry? They were confused. They were intrigued. He was different. He'd heard God's affirmation and he'd encountered deep despair. He'd been to the wilderness. He'd seen God's victory through the wilderness. He'd spent 40 years in a dry and hungry place, and he'd encountered God in those moments. And he came back to Nazareth with a strength, with a determination, and a clarity which was very shocking and striking to the people that he met. And when he was passed the scroll and handed the scriptures, I believe he met with God at that moment. And that's the final point that I want to bring us to. We need to meet God in his word. Jesus opened the scroll. He opened the prophet Isaiah. And all of a sudden he realized that these words were so relevant to him and they were so defining for him that they shape his ministry. And as we go through Luke's gospel, we'll see how these two verses are unpacked and worked out in Jesus' ministry and in the life even of the early church. Jesus had experienced God's Spirit in baptism. That's why he knew he was anointed to take good news. He'd experienced God's favor. That's why he was so convinced that this was the year of the Lord's favor. He'd experienced God giving him sight in the blindness of the wilderness. He'd experienced God setting him free from the oppression of the devil in those times of temptation. And he knew that those experiences weren't just for him, but they were for others. And as he read God's word in Isaiah, he was determined to proclaim all those things which he'd experienced and open them up to others. So, what's the vision for Vision Sunday? Really, it's to meet with God, to pursue God, to seek God, to find him, and to receive his promise that he is near when we call upon him. It may mean that you need to meet with God in the water. It may mean going back to the beginning of your Christian faith, recovering that first love for the Lord. Or it may mean entering those baptism waters yourself. It may mean facing the reality of a wilderness experience, talking about it, sharing it with others, praying it through, and asking God to meet you in those times of desert, dry experiences. Or it may mean taking up God's word and letting God's word define your life, give shape, give direction to what you're doing with your time and energies at this stage of life in 2008. I'd encourage you to meet with God. God promises that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. He's ready to meet with us. Let's be ready to meet with him. Amen.